Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of Juniper Hotels Limited, hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Certain statements disclosed in this presentation or that may be disclosed over this call may relate to company's growth prospects that are forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws and regulations. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance as they are subject to known and unknown risks which are beyond the control of the company. We have with us today Mr. Arun Saraf, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Varun Saraf, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Tarun Jaitley, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arun Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saraf.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on this call to discuss our financial results for the second quarter of fiscal 2026. The quarter under review marked a period of normalization after the volatility of the first quarter. Travel patterns have stabilized now, air traffic has improved, and overall demand influences for the industry have turned positive and conducive again. While Q2 traditionally witnesses a soft patch owing to the monsoon months, the underlying demand drivers for the hospitality industry remain strong. Domestic travel continues to anchor performance, corporate mobility is steadily expanding, and forward bookings are for the festive season and wedding season are looking very healthy. Across the industry, average room rates in key markets have grown between 3%-10%, actually, even as occupancies moderate in the monsoon season. This rate resilience continues to hold given a favorable demand-supply equation. The sector's core fundamentals remain strong, with branded hotel demand projected to remain strong and negligible supply is seen in the foreseeable near future. A recent study by Global Business Travel Association has found a rising trend in corporate travelers combining business trips and leisure. The trip duration is extending, and that there is a rising trend of business travelers upgrading to premier experiences. This is very important. This gives us a lot of encouragement that our market is expanding and has a very, very strong underlying demand coming from the corporates who are upgrading to premium. This provides an opportunity for Indian tourism, especially destinations like Mumbai, Delhi, and Bangalore, as per the report. Let me briefly touch upon our development pipeline, which continues to be the key pillar of our long-term growth strategy. I am pleased to share that phase one of our Bengaluru project is progressing well and remains firmly on the schedule of being ready by the end of this fiscal. We hope to receive our first guest in the first quarter of the next fiscal. Phase one will add 235 keys to our portfolio in one of the most dynamic markets in India. Bangalore can never be suppressed. That is the most and continues to have a resilience that I can't even explain to you. Phase two of Bangalore will add another 273 keys, making it a 508 keys asset, in line with our strategy to own and operate big box assets in key metros. We expect site work for phase two to commence by first quarter of 2027. In Kaziranga, we broke ground in September 2025 for our upcoming luxury resort. This marks an exciting milestone as we expand into high potential markets and leisure destinations. The property will feature 111 keys designed to blend with luxury and natural beauty of the region. This will cater to both domestic and inbound ecotourism. We have also concluded the design work on our 340 key project in Guwahati. This will be another key pillar to our strategy to establish a leading presence in Northeast. We will continue to focus on Northeast in line with our strategy to be the first one in each market that we enter. Infrastructure development and growth is a focus area of central government for the Northeast. Projects worth INR 44,859 crores have been sanctioned in the region and 978 industrial units have been registered in Northeast Special Infrastructure Development Scheme. With over 5,000 kilometers of road projects undergoing now and 10 greenfield airports being built in last 11 years. With major infrastructure investment and increased connectivity of Northeast has immense potential to become India's next major hospitality and tourism area. We are well positioned to capture this opportunity. In addition to our ongoing projects, I am happy to share exciting development that further strengthen our growth pipeline. We have submitted bids for greenfield development in Port Blair and Neil Island, located in Andaman and Nicobar Islands. These destinations represent untapped potential in India's leisure ecotourism, and we believe our entry here will allow us to create differentiated, nature-integrated, premium hospitality experience that will cater both to domestic and international travelers, similar to our upcoming resort in Kaziranga. We have also submitted for a bid for a strategic development in Yashobhoomi in New Delhi, India's largest convention and exhibition center. This location offers extreme possibilities because of its proximity to the airport in Delhi and as a positioning of its Yashobhoomi Exhibition Center as the premier numero uno business and MICE center. We also plan to submit a bid for DDA lease land in Dwarka upcoming in this month. The ongoing development as well as initiatives to expand reflect our commitment to building a diversified and future-ready portfolio, overlaying our solid portfolio of marquee assets. The strategic presence across the luxury businesses and markets, and now increasingly exploring key luxury leisure destinations, we are well positioned to capture the evolving market and demand landscape and long-term growth opportunity. Our development pipeline not only enhances our geographic footprint, but also strengthens our ability to deliver sustained value to key stakeholders over the medium and long term. Needless to say, we are committed to our earlier plans of bringing in other assets into our company. We enter the second half of the year with confidence, a surge in demand through festive and wedding seasons, a busy corporate calendar, and strengthening pipeline of inbound travel. Supported by India's solid macroeconomic backdrop and rising household incomes, improving connectivity, and young aspirational consumer base, the hospitality sector is poised to augment its upward momentum and bounce back from where we left off. I am actually looking forward that we should be able to meet our budgets and our plans for this financial year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Saraf. So, this is Tarun Jaitley. I would now like to walk through some of the highlights for the quarter gone by. Starting with revenues, total income for second quarter is the highest at 235 crores. And the improvement is primarily driven by a 7% ARR growth across the hotel portfolio, with Grand Hyatt, Andaz, and Regency Ahmedabad having outperformed their respective comp sets. Consolidated ARR for Q2 stood at 10,599 versus 9,879 in the corresponding period of last year. ARR gap between JHL assets and the comp set has also narrowed at Mumbai and Delhi, which are our key markets. So that's another key highlight for the quarter. Overall, while the portfolio occupancy has remained grown by 1 percentage point, the key highlight is that the Juniper portfolio has outperformed the comp set in Mumbai, Delhi, and Ahmedabad. Despite the exceeded monsoons, the extended monsoon periods in various parts of the country impacting sectoral occupancies during the quarter. Thus, on the RevPAR basis, the quarter saw 9% year-on-year growth to 7663, driven primarily by ARRs. During the quarter, Delhi continues to lead ARR growth, with Andaz ARR growing 12% YOY in the quarter, driven primarily by the group segments. Hyatt Regency Ahmedabad has been a star performer in the current quarter, delivered a performance on both ARR and occupancy, driven by strong traction in the contract segment for the quarter. Standard annuity assets, which comprise lease rentals at Grand Hyatt and Andaz, plus the apartment revenue, have grown to 35 crores during the quarter, driven by 18% growth in lease income. EBITDA, excluding other income, for the second quarter came in at 82.6 crores, representing a 28% year-on-year growth and a margin of 36% in the current quarter compared to 30% in the corresponding quarter of last year. Key drivers for this expansion are A, ARR growth. Second is HLP cost savings due to the rising share of green energy as part of our overall units consumed. The green energy share has grown from 25 to 29%. Consumable and repair and maintenance expenses normalizing after the one-off write-offs that we saw in the corresponding period of last year. And then, of course, the lease rental flow-throughs. Netting off the impact of one-off items in Q2 FY26, we have seen the EBITDA margins grow year-on-year and also represent a strong 13 to 14% on a like-to-like basis growth in the EBITDA. Profit before tax and exceptional items stood at 27.5 crores in second quarter, which is up 38% YOY, and the company recorded a positive profit after tax of 16.8 crores during the quarter as compared to a loss of 27.8 crores in the corresponding quarter of the last year. For first half, profit after tax stood at 25.8 crores versus a loss of 16.2 crores in the prior year. From a balance sheet perspective, we continue to remain strong with a net bank debt to EBITDA at 1.4, which provides significant debt headroom and gives us flexibility to fund our ongoing expansions without stressing the balance sheet. Our average cost of borrowing currently is at around 8.3%, while we are generating 7.9% on invested deposits on the balance sheet. To summarize, Q2 reflects resilient performance for Juniper portfolio across key assets, having outperformed their comp sets in both ARR and occupancy. That's the key theme for the quarter. As we enter the second half, we expect demand momentum to significantly strengthen, driven by wedding, festival travel, MICE activity, and the normal strong second half, which we see year on year. And our ongoing efficiency initiatives will support the margin expansion as we get into the next two quarters. Thank you. I would now request the moderator to open for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Abhay from Axis Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the occupancy and the ARR trend that we see during the quarter. So for the luxury portfolio, we see that the occupancy is flat at around 69%. However, last year, same quarter, we had the impact on in Grand Hyatt Mumbai on the Q2 renovations, due to which the occupancy was impacted. So on a like-to-like basis, how does it stack by and what is the trend that we can expect going forward?
Yeah, so hi, on the ARR, I think, you know, there's been a continued resilience. And if you see, even in the current quarter, and specifically if you were to talk about Grand Hyatt, you know, the ARR has grown by 6 to 7%, and this is, you know, as I said, we have outperformed the comp set. I think, you know, the key theme, Abhay, that we need to keep in mind and the way we look at it as well is how do we fare with respect to the, you know, the comp set, because that is a reflection of how, are we doing better than other hotels out there in the same micro market. On the occupancy front as well, as I said, you know, while the quarter was impacted by, you know, the monsoons, we've kind of done much better than our comp set in the Mumbai on the occupancy front. So I think on both the ARR and occupancy, we continue to do better, you know, than the comp set. And also I will share another information with you that, you know, the trend for, you know, the strong ARR continues even in October for Grand Hyatt. You know, in Grand Hyatt, for instance, in October, we've seen ARR grow by 10%. YOY, you know, so we are at around 13,500 today. So I think we are very happy with the way the performance has been for Grand Hyatt.
Can you also please share the occupancy of Grand Hyatt in October and at a portfolio level, how is it trending?
So on the Grand Hyatt, and I don't want to get into, you know, month-on-month occupancy, but if I were to look at it, we are on a year-on-year basis in Grand Hyatt, we are 10 percentage point plus. Obviously, last year there was, you know, the impact of the, you know, the refurb that was happening. But if you were to look at just the Grand Hyatt year-on-year occupancy, we are 10% up in October.
Okay, thanks a lot. And at a portfolio level, what is the ARR growth and occupancy level?
Sir,
we are seeing?
I'm really sorry, Quentin.
Okay, just last, Abhayla, before you go, 9% on the overall Juniper portfolio in October, ARR.
Great, thank you, sir. I'll get back to the talk.
Thank you. Participants, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in this conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nijel from Leo Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, what is the gap between our asset EBITDA and corporate EBITDA today? And what is the quantum of corporate costs on a quarterly or annual basis?
Hi, Nigel. Sorry, I was on mute. So, yeah, if you look at the second quarter, at the hotel EBITDA, we were at, we clocked in roughly around 91 crores against 82.6 crores at the corporate level. So, you know, there is corporate expense plus other income and the corporate income. So I'm talking about, you know, the impact of EBITDA at the operating level and at the corporate level. These are the numbers.
Got it. And secondly, what sort of margins do you expect at a corporate EBITDA level for the full year?
So look, you know, again, on the adjusted EBITDA, which is other netting off the other income, we are at around 36% in the second quarter. And we are at incidentally 36% for the first half as well. And as we get into the, you know, third quarter and the fourth quarter, you know, we believe that we should start trending towards the normal 40%, you know, EBITDA margins that, you know, we set out as a target going forward. So I think, you know, we are expecting the second half to be very, very strong and you know, we should start trending towards 40% plus margins as we go forward.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Lokesh from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon, team. Thank you for the opportunity. Karan, my question was on the increase in employee cost that we are seeing this quarter. How much would this be attributed to the Bangalore property, which is, you know, soon to be operationalized?
So look, I mean, you know, today the Bangalore costs are anyways going to get capitalized because we are still constructing the project. But you know, we are we took on more headcount primarily on the F&B side across our assets to improve the product offering. So you know, we added people, expat chefs in, for instance, Mumbai. We took on some headcount for the, you know, the high end showroom that we created. So all of those are the primary reasons for increase in headcount. But if you were to again look at just you know, as a percentage of the total kind of operating revenue, my employee cost has remained stable at around, you know, 20.6 for the quarter as a percentage of operating revenue only, right? So the, on a quarter on quarter, you know, YOY basis, sorry, there has been no increase in the manpower cost as a percentage. But in the absolute term, in my manpower that I've taken in is for improved product offering as we go forward.
Okay. And is there any scope to bring this down to 15% going forward in the medium to long term? Do you see that as a possibility? Or this will remain at 20% stable?
No, no. So there's a numerator and denominator for it, right, Lokesh? So I think, you know, we are looking at, you know, better ARRs and better revenue traction coming in and more F&B revenues picking up as we get into the next few quarters. So this will normalize. It will come down. It will not remain at this level.
Great. My last question was, I'm sorry, I joined a little late. I missed the opening commentary. So I don't know if you mentioned the revenue from showroom this quarter. The grand show.
So I can give you the number for the first half. We are at around 8 crores incremental. That's where we are right now for showroom. We anticipate that we would, as we get into the second half, we would more than double that in the second half, given the business on hand.
Right. And this would be classified under F&B, the revenue for showroom?
Yes, that's right.
Great. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Vaibhav from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dean. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was on our expansion pipeline. We have actually increased the number of keys that we have planned for Bangalore project slightly. And for Kaziranga as well, if I'm not wrong. So, just wanted to understand the rationale for that. And secondly, if you can give some update on the ROFO asset addition, which we had said that it will be done around FY27. And related to this, a company in the last earnings call had mentioned that Juniper is also evaluating bidding for some of the land parcels in the government bids. So if there is any more update on that front. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with Bangalore. You asked, now we have a final count of 235 rooms in the first phase, and in the second phase we'll have about 273 rooms. So there are certain, you know, it's a configuration with changes of reduction in suites and other things. So this is how the 235 room came in. And for Kaziranga, 111 is actually a mix of both rooms and villas. So this is the final drawing that has come out, and it will be the final numbers. Now on the government bids and the other, before that, okay, let me come back to you on Guwahati also. Last time we had mentioned that we would be doing about 250 rooms there. So that 250 rooms still stays in Guwahati. But apart from 250 rooms, we are adding a couple of apartments. So that should be approximately about 90 apartments that would be added there. So the total inventory in Guwahati would be 340. Now on the bids, we have already submitted, Andaman was, apart from Northeast, as Mr. Saraf had mentioned earlier, Andaman is one of the potential market that we see. There's a lot of potential of growth. A lot of new flights have been added. That market is pretty busy and the supply is very low. So the government, the government of Andaman had come up with a couple of bids that were for one hotel in Port Blair and five islands. So among the five islands, two are the most prominent island in Andaman today, that is Havelock and Neel. So in this bid process, there was no opportunity in Havelock, but there was an opportunity in Neel. We have participated for both developments in Port Blair as well as the Neel Island. So in I'll just complete this on the bid part.
Sure.
Today, I was just talking about the market. So if you look at it, there's one of the branded hotels by Taj in Havelock, which does an ARR of approximately about 30,000. And this land that we have bidded in Neel is probably a better land with a larger beach to compete with Taj. Apart from these two, we see, as we have been mentioning earlier, we see a lot of potential in Delhi, Bombay. And Bombay probably, the problem is availability of land. So fortunately, we have two opportunities that have come in Delhi. One is at Yashobhoomi. So there are about, it is more going to be more like an AeroCity project where there are about 9 hotel projects which would come over a period of time. In the first phase, they have come up with 2 lands for hotel and 1 for apartments, along with 9 plots for commercial. And we have submitted the bid for this. And there is another bid, which is again in the Dwarka market, which is done by DDA. And that is a slightly larger development. And that bid last date is day after tomorrow. And we have submitted bid for that also. So today, if you look at the bid, we have put 4 active bids that are going. And then there are opportunities which are in Bihar. There is an opportunity which is coming up next month. And we are looking at participating in that also. Thank you.
Just from the ROFO assets, sir, if you can provide a bit more clarity on the timelines.
See, those ROFO assets are part of the promoter family and that would come. But there are challenges because these ROFO assets are also part of listed companies and those also have their own processes to be followed. So eventually it will come, but it may be a bit, clarity may be a bit away today at today's point of time.
Understood, sir. And secondly, on the F&B revenue and the service apartment.
Could you please rejoin the queue? We do have other participants.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Prateek Oza from Systematix Corporate Services Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is on your capital deployment strategy. I wanted to understand. We are going for a major greenfield project in Guwahati. And
Mr. Prateek, I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you come again with your question? You're not audible.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was on the capital deployment. So as we are now going on with the new greenfield project in Guwahati and Kaziranga, so wanted to get a sense of what kind of ROC are we, do we have an internal threshold for minimum ROC which we are expecting, and for market like Kaziranga, which is highly seasonal and leisure driven, what kind of payback period are we taking into consideration, and what kind of ARR we can expect from that particular market?
Yeah, hi Prateek. So I think if I get your question right, from a perspective of the way we look at new development, I think we said, you know, our ethos and our genetics is to basically look at greenfield developments, right? And one of the key criteria that we look at is, you know, what is the percentage of land cost as part of your overall, you know, project development? And the other important facet is that, is that location going to, you know, double the value of land in the next 5 years? Those are two important criteria. As far as hurdle rates are concerned, we look at, you know, mid to high teens. And, you know, that's a kind of a boxed, you know, benchmark that we look at for deploying capital. As far as the specifics on the northeastern market, I think, you know, Mr. Saraf touched upon, you know, a lot of central government focus and development in the northeast. That is one of the virgin markets in the way that we are. If you look at our track record, we are the first movers. We have been in the location in Grand Hyatt. We have been first movers in Andaz, in the AeroCity. We were, in fact, asset number one in, you know, Andaz in AeroCity. In line with that strategy, we will be the first ones in Northeast to establish, you know, a significant presence, including Guwahati and Kaziranga. As far as Kaziranga is concerned, our project location is next to the Kaziranga National Park. I don't think there's any other asset which is going to come up near the vicinity of our asset. It is not too expensive from a perspective of capital that we're deploying. It's 111 key asset, but from an ARR perspective, it could be more than 30,000 plus, given that it will be a high-end luxury resort in that particular market where demand is significantly increasing. So I think, you know, I hope I've answered your questions. We are very excited about Northeast market, and that's one of the reasons you would see why we've also expanded the size of Guwahati investment.
Sir, yes, sir, it was very elaborate. And sir, second question on your outperformance as compared to your competitors. So was it a result of a specific sales strategy which you deployed to gain market share? If you can throw some more light on it.
Yeah, so, you know, the last year in specific, and I'll touch upon Mumbai and then I'll get into, you know, Delhi. In Mumbai, we kind of, you know, invested the money into Grand Hyatt upgrade because we wanted to look at specific strategy of, you know, capturing more transient and group business, which are normally at a higher end of the ARR than the traditional contract or the airline business, which are at the lowest end of the ARR. And I think we've been successful in that. In the current quarter, for instance, in my opening remarks, I said Grand Hyatt ARRs are driven by transient, increase in the transient share. So that's one of the strategy. Plus, the comp set difference in ARR has reduced to half. It was in, you know, 1,500 plus rupees when we started out. We are at around 400 to 500 rupees right now vis-a-vis the comp set delta on ARR in the last quarter. In Delhi, you know, the ARR trajectory has been driven by groups. And Delhi has been a star performer for us. Its ARR is still growing 10% plus. And that is one of the focus area. Plus, you know, the comp set delta there is also narrow. So the strategy was that we wanted to narrow the comp set ARR delta, and that is what we kind of implemented over the past few months.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for upcoming quarters.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aman Goyal from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir, for opportunity. So my question is related to bookkeeping. Sir, in presentation, I can see there is a forex fluctuation in the finance cost. Sir, can you please throw some color on it, whether it is unrealized revaluation on foreign loan, or are we managing this exposure through any hedging or otherwise?
So, Aman, hi. Yes, in the quarter gone by, we've taken a 7 crore delta hit. You know, it's a notional provision as part of the finance cost, and that's one of the reasons that you would see that, you know, in the results. These are primarily on, you know, normally as a business, we have a natural hedge. We have, you know, forex earnings as well. And this is primarily on account of ECBs which had come in over the past years from promoters, you know, and that is what has been taken as a provision. We are looking at going forward, looking at and evaluating a rolling hedging strategy to kind of, you know, negate that kind of risk as well as we go forward.
Okay. So my second question is related to service apartments. On sequential basis, I can see there is a 5% dip as a part of revenue. Can you throw some color on it?
Yeah, so, you know, there are two set of apartments, one in Mumbai and the other is in Delhi, and I think Delhi continues to do very well. As far as the, you know, the impact in the current quarter that you referred to is primarily on account of Mumbai, and that is also because of a high base effect last year, where when the rooms were under refurb, we kind of, you know, reallocated some of the demand for the rooms into the apartments, and that's pushed the, you know, occupancy for apartments artificially up. So it's a, you know, a stronger, larger base that you're looking at. And I think we are now in engaging with, you know, as we speak, we're, you know, the team is engaging with corporates to get in more the occupancy in Mumbai up. So I think we will touch upon that in the next few quarters when developments happen.
All right, sir. My last question is related to, so we are in almost mid of this quarter. How is the trend for quarter three?
We are not in the middle of the quarter, but what I can say is that, you know, in October, as I was telling initially in the call, our ARR trajectories remain very firm. In fact, you know, the overall portfolio ARR in October has grown 9%, 10% in Mumbai, 9 to 10% in Delhi, you know, and Ahmedabad as well grew at 9% on the ARR. So I think, you know, we continue to see resilience. In fact, as we get into the second half, we will have a much stronger F&B, you know, contribution coming in from events and all the other things that, you know, because of the extended monsoons got a bit impacted in Q2.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have any follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aditya from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My question is on the ROFO assets. Would you be able to provide any details about what are the nature of these procedural delays? Are these related to regulatory approvals or valuation? And in any case, do we have a reason to believe that there would be any probability of the ROFO assets integration not happening for any reason? And the last question is, in absence of the integration being delayed, what should drive growth for us until then? These are the two questions.
Aditya, I'll take the last part of your question first. If you look at, you know, what we put down and disclosed also is that we are looking at from current key count are roughly around 1900. We are looking at, you know, a key count of 4076. Now, you know, ROFO is one bit of it, but majority of this key count growth is coming in from new projects. In fact, the Bengaluru project itself is going to be a 508 key asset. Plus, you know, in the earlier bit of the call, we said Guwahati 340 keys, 111 coming in from Kaziranga. So all these are constituting, plus I think Amit took a long time to kind of, you know, explain our bidding strategy. We are in active bid mode right now, having bid for two attractive assets in Delhi NCR and also in Andaman. So we remain committed to delivering that growth. ROFO happens to be one of the facets of it. So the answer is that with or without ROFO, we will continue to deliver significantly good growth. Now, coming down to your question on ROFO assets, the delay is primarily on account that we've shared in the past. We are dealing with three listed entities which are involved, and they have extensive regulatory and compliance procedures, and that is what has taken time. There is nothing else to it that we would like to share on it right now. One more thing, as just a nugget of information that we would like to share, is that the work on the Hyatt Regency Mumbai to get it operational and the full refurb is going on as we speak as a separate timeline. So that work is not pending the timeline for the eventual integration of these assets into Juniper.
Got it. That was helpful. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ashish from Himalaya IA. Please go ahead.
You had earlier mentioned that Hyatt Regency Mumbai will become operational by end of this year. What is the updated timeline for the same?
So I think from where I, you know, it's not part of Juniper right now. So whatever I can understand is that we are on track. There is no delay in on that side is what I can share. But I, as I said, you know, I'm not looking at that project closely because that's not part of Juniper.
All right. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Devesh from Choice Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello. So, as per your previous conference calls, the estimated CapEx requirement for the new hotels over the next 4 years is approximately 1,700 crores. Could you provide the year-on-year breakdown for this budget? Traditionally, will this be funded fully through internal approvals, or are you planning to borrow?
Yeah, hi Devesh. So, you know, of course, it would be a prudent mix of fresh project level debt and equity. We do, as we said, you know, we are at 1.4x net bank debt to EBITDA today. So we have significant headroom to take debt on from purely growth perspective on a prudent basis. If we build that in and the future cash flows that we are generating on a free cash flow basis, we are adequately placed to deliver the key count that we talked about without stressing the balance sheet. You know, the CapEx requirement to deliver this key count remains at around 18 to 1900 crore between now and FY 28 and 29. And that would come through a mix of, you know, debt and prudent project level debt. On a, you know, let's say year-on-year basis, it is a function of, you know, which projects we are taking up first and how they are kind of spread over. But I would say majority of the CapEx would start coming in from FY 27, 28 would be a significant year, and fag end of 29. It will be spread in that manner.
What do you expect the occupancy trend to be for the newer hotels once they are added? And initially, how long do you think it would take them to reach optimal occupancy?
So I can talk about in a bit more specific on Bengaluru. You know, since that's the first one that is coming up. And if you look at all the kind of, you know, the indicators for Bengaluru market, you know, you would understand the resilience in that market that is today. You know, the Bengaluru ARRs have grown by 20% plus. I think along with Hyderabad, Bengaluru is the top performer as far as the ARR is concerned in Indian market, pan-India. So there is enough and more demand supply, you know, which is favoring current project development there. And hence, given the location of our asset, which is in the close proximity to all the new demand and infrastructure that is coming up in the city, we believe that the phase one with only 230 odd rooms would not be a challenge to fill in at a high occupancy in the first few months of opening itself. So we remain very positive on the contribution coming in from newer assets.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Mihir from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First question is on, you know, the Bangalore airport project. You know, if I have been to that stretch and I have, you know, seen that property, the location of that exact property, but sir, currently, you know, there is no, you know, proper office space, office infrastructure or corporate park infrastructure, as well as, you know, there are limited residential areas also right now. Currently, you can see a lot of furniture and marble tiles too. So anything on that specific market in that location that you would want to say, ki how it's going to, you know, change in the future, or are we looking that there could be some support from the Bangalore government to, you know, create all those corporate areas around that asset? And the second question is on Grand Hyatt Mumbai. So current occupancy was around 62%. Can we see this occupancy reaching, you know, 75% plus like our other luxury hotels? That's all.
Okay, Mihir, this is Amit Saraf here. Let me take your first question on Bangalore. So if you'll see the Bangalore market today, that entire market, micro market, if you see Taj or if you see Moxie there, they're already doing extremely good. Taj in airport is today doing in a higher occupancy with approximately about 17,000 to 18,000 of ARR, and Moxie is also doing good. So if you see from Hebbal area to the airport, in between there are no hotels, and most of the business that comes from Hebbal to airport comes in the airport area. The another thing which most of the people don't notice is when we come from the airport, we take a left turn towards the city. If you take a right turn, there are a lot of development that has already happened, a lot of corporate offices, knowledge parks, a lot of other you know, activities are happening there, and the demand is extremely good. And if I give you an example, there's a Moxie just about a kilometer from our hotel today. It's a much lower budget brand of Marriott. That hotel also commands a rate of about 10 to 12,000 in this market. We have a corporate account with them, and we also pay that higher rate there. So we don't see much of a challenge in terms of, and then there are a lot of development that's already happening, and in year and a half, we'll see that demand also coming up in that micro market. So your concern of you know, occupancy or demand coming in that area is not a very big concern that we see here.
Okay, that was very helpful. Thank you. And on the Grand Hyatt Mumbai.
Right, so on Grand Hyatt Mumbai, right, I mean, in Q2, if you were to see, there was the impact in May and, you know, June, July was also a little bit impacted because of, you know, the geopolitical issues and, of course, you know, the associated issues. But if I were to give you kind of an idea, if on an average, let's say, for Q2, if it is around 62% occupancy, it started off at the mid-50s, and in September we were in excess of 70% occupancy in Grand Hyatt. You know, so that's a trend that we are now maintaining.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Gautam from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My questions have been answered already. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Lokesh from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Thank you again for the opportunity. Tarun, my question was on the Forex loss of 7.5 crores. If I understand that clearly that, you know, we had, with the IPO money, we had paid back the debt, and then balance 450 was, you know, renegotiated with ICICI Bank. So where is this Forex on ECB coming from, you know? Have we raised in ECBs? Where have the ECBs come from?
Yeah. Hi, Lokesh. So, you know, we used the proceeds of the IPO to pay down 1,500 crores of bank debt. That was, yeah, JP Morgan and Kotak. And that is what, in fact, after that also we paid down more debt from, let's say, banks like you know, Axis Bank and other banks, which were there in chartered as well. So we've kind of, you know, obviously delevered a balance sheet. These are ECBs were, you know, infused by Hyatt and Saraf Hotels, specifically also during the pandemic to support the business in that particular, you know, era. And while the amount of ECBs have come down, you know, the end use that we had put down specifically for the use of proceeds to pay down debt was primarily bank debt from the IPO proceeds. So ECBs, from our perspective, the priority is to kind of, you know, pay them out from free cash flow as and when, you know, we have them available. And that is the strategy that we are following right now.
So then what would be the outstanding as of date of the ECBs on the books?
So it should be around 35 odd million.
Okay. Okay. And by end of year, we can pay that off? Do we plan to pay that off?
So we would pay this out, as I said, as and when the free cash flows allow us, you know, we would pay that out over the next few quarters.
Understood. Thank you. That's it for my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, this was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. I would like to thank everybody for taking your time to attend this call. If there are any follow-on questions, I would request you to reach out to my office or to MUFG, and we look forward to seeing you in the next quarter call as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Juniper Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.